Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, and welcome to the show that is created on Kingdom Principles, a show that is designed to help you get from where you are to where you want to be. It's packed full of people who are walking in the same steps that you walked in, and they're doing it, and they brought their product to market, and they're living the life that, hey, they deserve to live, and so can you. We have a series that's called How Did I Get Here? And it chronicles, right? It asks that proverbial question, how did you get here? I, of course, I'm joined in the studio with this warm, wonderful, phenomenal lady, Jeannie Kitty of the City.
Meow. And that is how I respond. That means everything is amazing and good. Yes. Here at the Dr. Tanji Show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And she has a way of going and getting some of the best in the business. And for that, I am so grateful. You know, we like to make certain that the principles are principles that you can absolutely apply to your daily living. And today's principle is no less than that. It's a principle on love. And you've heard me talk about love before. But this time, I want to segue into love and the role it serves in relationships. Now, I could speak forever and a day about love. But because, you know, we are kind of time, you know, constrained, I'll be quick to tell you just three pointers that I really want you to kind of focus in on. And I need you to know that you must accept, you must believe, and you must receive that you are already complete when you possess the understanding of the context that is written in Him. You are complete, who is the head of all principality and power. Now, with that being said, I do not want you to ever feel like someone completes you in a relationship, because that is not the case. You come or you go in that relationship already complete, okay? Pointer number two, position yourself to understand the meaning and the characteristics of love. And because this is so, so paramount right now, I jotted it down so that I don't miss anything here. Now, here are the characteristics of love. It is a responsibility that you have towards yourself and others. It is patient. It is not envious. It does not boast. It does not dishonor. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes, and it always preserves. Love never fails. And pointer number three, love forces you to be accountable. And that is so, so important. And I hope that you notice I did not one time say love is a euphoric feeling, because we got to get away from that. We have to, because think about it. I love eating ice cream. I love roller skating. But when it relates to relationships, I always find myself making certain to put that other person's feelings before mine, because I'm responsible in that relationship of the benefactor who's the receiver of my love to let them know that, you know what?
And that's and that's why you're Dr. Tanya, because love don't always love you back. I mean, if everybody could love and be loved by Dr. Tanji, that would be amazing.
I'm not going to do this. Yeah,
you're not. Okay. But I love the fact that you said accountable, because those are the real things. Absolutely. Responsible, being accountable. Absolutely. That's what love begins to be, not this fluffy feeling. Absolutely. We get where your ovaries flipping over. Yeah. Absolutely. That feeling
that
comes and goes. Oh, okay.
You're infatuated with the word love. But it's easy to love. It really, really is. And we have to love sometimes the hell out of folks.
I'm going to need you to write a book on that, Dr. Tanji.
I'm not going to do that.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, but you talk about love and it's constantly in the headlines. And I think about one of the top trending stories, Aisha Curry, who I love so much, incredible wife, absolutely. Mother, super entrepreneur. I mean, yep. Just cover girl, / et cetera. But yep. She's getting major backlash in social media right now because she was an amazing guest with her family members. They all NBA wives, and she made a statement being vulnerable and honest, as she is proud to all the time, about being married to no doubt one of the hottest NBA players in the finals right now. Absolutely. Steph Curry. And she made a statement where she said that, you know, she wished she got attention like he did. And from, you know, he gets a lot of attention from women 24/7. And she, you know, made that statement. So, you know, women are looking like, what more do you want? You got hotness, you got a great guy, great family, you got great everything. But I understood what she was saying in terms of needing to feel wanted, like every human being does, and validated.
Absolutely.
Was that the platform to sit on, that they are in the finals right now and everybody's saying, oh, Aisha, when, you know, Steph leaves, hit me. I mean, she's getting this backlash. Wow. And what I love about him, such a king, he was like, Aisha, keep being honest. Keep doing you. I love you.
Oh,
and it's
God.
Okay. I was like, you know, women are like, Aisha, that's what we want. That's what we want. But it's beautiful because you saw that side of her being honest.
Be honest.
But it was interesting that the follow-up story is that she, you know, admitted in an interview that she had had breast work done that was botched.
Oh, wow.
After their second child, she went to get augmentation to get, lifted. They made them not only larger than she wanted, but one larger than the other. Who knew until now? So that, you walking around as a woman with lopsided breasts, that's going to mess with anybody's. You know, self-esteem. So imagine all of those layers in you living your life in the public. People have no idea.
Thank you.
You know how crazy that is.
None whatsoever.
And so in saying that, she's human. People go through highs, lows, trying to maintain relationships. And I'm so excited that the Dr. Tanji Show has one of the top dating and relationship experts for women, Dr. Aisha, joining us. She masterfully, I mean, she assists celebrities, athletes, powerhouse professionals. And we're going to get Dr. Aisha to talk about, you know, every Dr. Tanji listener, man, woman, young, old, listening that wants to have healthier relationships, because we all need them. Mm-hmm. We all need them. And she's been featured Lifetime Television, Chicago Tribune. And I'm excited to hear about how she helps people do this.
Absolutely.
You're doing it.
Absolutely.
She's doing it.
How about that?
And so we're going to talk about it.
How about that? Doctor, are you there?
I'm here.
Wonderful.
Dr. Aisha, hello.
Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you so, so very much. It is an honor to be in your presence.
No, thank you for having me. And I just want to say it's Dr. Aisha.
Aisha.
I would love
Aisha.
To
thank you.
Look, right? Look, I'm all like this whole Aisha thing. Look, I make it all work. Husband's working, you working. Gotcha.
Thank you so very much. Names are so very important. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Aisha.
Aisha.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. And welcome to the Dr. Tanji Show. Ah, so many questions. Absolutely. So many questions that I have for you. I got to start with this one, right? As one who helps smart, successful sisters create and sustain powerful relationships, what are some of the variables that you use for women to pull back layers of defense mechanisms that I'm sure you see in and out of your consults?
Yes, that's a really great question. You know, when women come to me, they have really powerful careers. Their life, you know, from the outside looking in, looks really, really great, right? Mm-hmm. They go on vacations, they got friends, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't feel like there's much missing in their life, but their heart's desire is not fulfilled. And so they'll pull me to the side and say, Dr. Aisha, why am I still single? What is wrong with me? And I can't tell you how many times in a conversation that I hear that question, what is wrong with me? At the root of that question, I have found is 7 core beliefs. Number one, it can be shame. It can be rejection. It can be a sense of worthlessness. It can be fear, insecurity, a sense of defilement. And a lot of these women are walking around unaware that their sense of not, you know, deserving love or somehow there's something wrong with them, you know, is the reason why they don't have the relationship that they desire has been driven by these wounds that were created years ago, right. You know, in childhood, on the playground, in their first, you know, romantic relationship. Mm. And so what I have to first do is bring them to a place of awareness. Okay. And I do a lot of mind-body work because, you know, what I know for sure is that the body will speak what the mind can't tell.
No, every time.
And so I look a lot at their life and the stress that's in their life and the ways that they have positioned their lives. And then we work backwards from there. So for example, a really, you know, intelligent woman came to me, 35, very wise beyond her years, but she ended up in the cardiologist's office with chest pain.
Oh, wow.
You know, afraid that she's having a heart attack. Way too young for that.
Right.
And as I began to work with her, discovered the extreme amount of stress in her life from her workplace environment, where she was working hard to try to prove that she was deserving, right, of her paycheck, of her promotion. Okay. And I saw a direct connection to how she was showing up at work to how she was showing up in relationships. That her boss was a mirror reflection of her boyfriend.
Oh, wow.
And so I help the women to be able to connect those dots, and then they can drop their guards and say, oh my goodness, you know, I fear rejection. And the way that I deal with that is to keep myself busy. Or the way that I deal with that is to be very defensive with men. Okay. Or the way that I deal with that is to choose men that need a lot of help so that I still need it.
Absolutely.
And so that's the core of the tool that I will use to help women come to this awareness that there's nothing wrong with them, but there are some things that do need to be healed.
I see. That's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And I know that it sounds like it's a proven motive operandi from one relationship, you know, to the next. Have you ever taken the disposition, doctor, that a client is just too exhaustive or too time consuming to kind of help? Have you ever had that disposition?
Keep it real, Dr. Aisha.
Keep it real.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you the truth because I started in this space, you know, you read that I've been on Lifetime TV and Aspire TV and, you know, having major platforms, being able to impact millions of people. Mm-hmm. But I started in this space as a matchmaker where women would come to me and be like, Dr. Aisha, there's no good men out there. I need your help, you know, to pick one. And what I found, ladies, with the matchmaking clients, some of them I had to give them their money back and tell them to go away.
Oh, wow.
See?
Because, just keep it real.
Because it didn't matter. Like, I was searching for a needle in a haystack for one woman where he had to be, you know, no kids, never married, you know, believed in celibacy, a certain, you know, height. And I found those types of men for her, and she would blow it every time. She would sabotage it every time. And I realized that she was very resistant to doing that inner work, right? Because she just thought, if you give me the man who meets all the checks on my paper, then we should be fine. And that wasn't the problem, right? The problem was, is that she didn't, you know, have a clear sense of her self-worth. She had some issues to deal with, and she didn't want to deal with them with me. In fact, she was drunk emailing me in the middle of the night, telling me off. So that was the kind of person that I needed to say, sis, I'm not the person for you.
I think you need to part ways.
And the funny thing is, she has made her rounds to all the matchmakers, all the dating coaches, because they keep reaching out to me saying, can you help me with this client?
Oh my God.
They'll describe her, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. What would
so, Confessions of a Matchmaker, y'all.
I like that.
There's your show. Right.
Know,
that's
right?
What, yeah.
That's right.
Because that's what it is, 24/7.
24/7.
Yes.
What common denominator would you say, Doctor, that has been the it in women or clients of yours attracting and establishing lasting relationships? What is that common denominator that you see?
Are you saying when they finally become successful?
Yes, when they finally
being able to attract it and keep it.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So a lot of the work that I do with women, I call it making room for the one. And that's when we do that inner work.
Okay.
And at the base of that inner work is them finally being able to communicate what their self-worth is.
Right.
I find with so many of the powerful women that I've worked with is that they link their worth to what they can do.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they achieve, you know, historic, great heights in their career and their community. You know, they're looked at as the Oprah in their world. They're giving back to everybody. Mm-hmm. But they don't have a clear sense of, I have value just because I show up.
Absolutely.
And so if I never lift a finger,
right,
I'm a blessing. I am the answer to prayer. I am the gift, and I deserve to be treated that way in relationships. And once women get that and they can actually say it, it shows up on their dating profile. It shows up how, you know, what they say on the first date. It shows up how they manage conflict. And so many women, once I help them actually meet the one, they'll say to me, I didn't even think a man like this existed. You know, I've never been in a relationship like this before. And it was that those men were around the entire time.
Right.
They just weren't in a place to be able to receive that kind of love from a man who was healthy, who was stable, who was ready to give it.
And so,
at the core is the self-worth.
Okay. And then, Dr. Aisha, where are these spaces where you create them to meet? You mentioned, you know, you assist them to make room to accept the type of person that they desire. Where do you make these places happen once you get them to that point of understanding?
So where do they actually meet these men?
Yes.
Is that where you asked?
Yeah.
Yes. So
where's the space?
So this is the second part in the strategy that I create, and that is positioning yourself to be found. And what women don't tend to realize is that you have to, number one, be proactive, and you got to stop waiting for him to just bump into you at Starbucks or, you know, walk into Whole Foods or somehow just slide in your DMs on social media or something like that. You know, where it just happens, if it happens. So we get very strategic, and I help the women to define their dating pool. So they start with, what do you want your life to look like? And then from there, what kind of partner is going to help you create it? And then where is he? You need to be showing up in those spaces.
Absolutely.
So for me, it's about creating a dating brand.
Yeah.
Just like if you walk into Walmart, you know, that environment invite people wearing a do-rag and a bonnet and not brushing their teeth and wearing their pajamas and their slippers. I mean, am I the only one who got a Walmart like that?
No, I see some sexy people in Walmart. I don't know which location you at, Doc.
There was one in Atlanta like that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my gosh. Where I'm from in the Midwest, like, people go, it's like, I'm just going to Walmart so I can just show up like that, right?
They do.
But you would not dare to do that on Saks, you know, Fifth Avenue or Nordstrom's or any of those places, because the brand is such that it communicates this is how you need to show up.
Absolutely.
So I help women create a dating brand like that. And we will look at online. So what dating apps you need to be on. Mm-hmm. Some of those apps are like ratchet nightclubs. And some of them, that's what one of my clients said, you know, oh, I get it, Dr. Aisha. Some of them are like clubs and some of them are like libraries. Exactly.
Oh, okay. So levels.
Mm-hmm. You want a certain kind of man, then you need to position yourself on there as not just another face to swipe on, mm-hmm. but as girlfriend or wife material.
Okay.
So we create a whole brand with their pictures, their wardrobes, their word choice, so that they can attract the right kind of men. And it happens offline too. So you need to show up in the right places, the right meetups, networking groups. You know, you need to be on LinkedIn.
Right,
you need
right.
to look at every opportunity you have mm-hmm. to connect with the kind of person. And when women get very strategic about that, that's when it happens for them, because they have options and they get to choose.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, with people mm-hmm. living longer, okay, more healthy lives, what do you say to that 65-year-old who's been married for 40 years and, God forbid, her husband is deceased now, and she's saying, okay, my children are grown, my grandchildren are fine, everything's paid, and I got this going. What do you tell that 65-year-old that wants to get out there and meet Mr. Right?
Or even a 30-year-old has been hurt or divorced, you know, the same feelings.
Absolutely.
Dr. Tanya's talking about and learning how to love again.
Absolutely.
Or to trust.
Yeah, I definitely have worked with women, you know, coming out of divorce. I've worked mm-hmm. with, you know, successfully had women who were 59 years old, single for 28 years. To get married, you know, to have a happily
on.
Ever after again. And what we have to do is I have to help them divorce the story that they keep telling themselves about why now is not the time for them to be loved. So many of these women will be like, well, I have to wait until my kids are grown, mm-hmm. or I have to wait until I lose weight, mm-hmm. or I have to wait until I'm not so busy.
Right.
And really what I've discovered is they are afraid. Right. Afraid of all the changes in the dating world. Like, it's completely different
yes.
than when I was, you know,
right.
25 years old
right.
and meeting men. They're afraid of being rejected.
Mm.
They're afraid of having to be open and vulnerable. Like one woman said to me, well, my boobs are sagging now.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I got these stretch marks.
Yeah. Too many things
and,
to fix
you
that.
Know,
tell her to
right,
call me.
I was in the flower of my youth, like, you know,
you,
I
right.
had all kind of men coming. But now, you know, I don't really feel the same way about myself. So I, one tool that I'll use is mirror work with these women.
Okay.
Where I tell them, when you get out the shower and you are standing in all of your glory,
mm-hmm.
I want you to stand there and look at yourself, behold yourself, and begin to appreciate those parts of yourself that you've been talking down to. So whether it's your thighs and you're like, oh my God, my thighs, and I can't get into these pants,
yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
or I got to use my Spanx. I want you to begin to appreciate those thighs for mm-hmm. holding you up all these years.
Oh boy.
and for allowing you to live the life that you live. And
absolutely.
It is very simple, ladies, but it is so profound.
Oh, absolutely.
Because mm-hmm. all of a sudden they walk around with a different energy.
Hmm.
So one of my clients was 45, you know, single mother, divorced, hadn't been on 3 dates in 10 years. When she started to do this work, she had men coming out the woodwork.
Wow.
Like, they would be almost slamming into the pole.
Are you
Because they were, you know, trying to get a look at her.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And she had a date every weekend if she wanted to.
Oh,
and so she, it was so, so amazing. Like, it was uh-huh. a whole nother woman, right? So she had to reclaim herself,
uh-huh.
Make peace with her body. And then be willing to allow herself to be loved again.
Make peace with your body. Remember that.
I know. Right?
So that's going to be my
yes.
new thing on social media. Did you make peace with your body
Absolutely.
Today?
Absolutely.
You know?
Right.
And Dr. Aisha, I love that you said energy. That's something that a word I use often, and it's so, so, so key. And another thing we were, you know, referencing, Aisha Curry, but what a lot of people see, and this is what I felt happened to her, is a lack of confidence. It doesn't matter. I mean, I've seen it so many times with colleagues and friends. I mean, they can be the top actor, can have the,
yeah.
I mean, millions. But if you don't feel that way, if you aren't confident, it shows, and it sets the table and the presence for everything. And that's what I see with Aisha when she said that. She didn't mean anything that she wanted anybody else other than her husband, but it showed a lack of confidence, and that's where the crippling begins. But when, like I said, once you find out there were issues with how she felt postpartum, the things that naturally happen to women after we have children, or if there's a relationship change, it begins to make sense in what you really have to work with. So confidence to me is really the key. And I, again, I like that you mentioned energy, because I was at a TV station the other day, and when someone stood in my DM, that's what they said. It wasn't necessarily how you look, what you've done, or we're doing this at this particular location in Hollywood. It was like, I really dig your energy. And I was like, oh,
But you know, there's a segue into that. Meow. All right. Jeannie knows that she and I, we talk about this at times. I honestly believe that when people say, oh, your energy, I believe that is it's a spirit that they see. They see the light that shines in you. And the only word that we can make it make sense is energy. Think about that thing. Because when you walk in a room and you set the tone and the atmosphere shifts, and everything that your objective for going into a room or into a meeting rather is to get XYZ, and you walk in there, you said confidence, absolutely. But I believe when you walk in there outside of yourself with that greater one in you, you can't help but win. Am I close, doctor?
You are. And that actually confirms about, you know, the last 10 years of research in neuroscience and on mind body science, is that our thoughts and our feelings actually have a frequency that you could measure.
I believe
And so, you know, when you're having thoughts about, you know, that are depressed or fearful or anxious, that your cells are going to vibrate at a particular frequency, and it's going to show up on, you know, on your body, on your body language. Like, your body is really just the extension of your mind. And so you can literally change that energy by cultivating the right thoughts. That's the work that I do with my clients, so that before they go on the date, that they have to be intentional about the thoughts that they were thinking. Mm-hmm. So that 45-year-old, you know, divorcee, you know, she was telling me, well, I'm going on these dates, but they're not turning into second dates or third dates. So I asked her, well, what are you thinking when you walk in? And she said, I'm thinking, oh, my God, are my spanks showing? And so she went into this, like,
that's
you know, self-conscious and like, oh my goodness, is he gonna like me? I gave her, no, these are the types of thoughts you need to think. You need to already assume he likes you. Like, you're already likable and desirable. You're choosing whether or not you want to, you know, have a second date with him. And these men would feel that shift in energy. And they would be begging her, what do I got to do to make you mine on that first date? You know, she said men treated her like she was irresistible, but she had to cultivate the thoughts of I'm irresistible.
Because everything
and
happens,
then the frequency and the vibes and all of that, you know, followed it.
I got it. See, Dr. Aisha and Dr. Tanji, I done figured out the app now. I just need to have my voice on to provide the higher frequency message and the body check before you go out. No, I'm serious. Yeah. Women just hit me up right before you walk out the door. Boom. Boom.
Right.
Okay, I got it. Body check and the higher frequency body check. Boom. There it is. There it is.
To all the listeners.
Before you walk out the door.
Whatever it is you're about to do. Right. There it is.
Oh my God.
I love it. This is good.
Have you ever, doctor, seen someone or just had a client or a client that you said, you know what? No more dating. It's time. Either you're going to seriously, you know, consider marriage, or, I mean, is that ever something that even crosses your mind? Because if you're dating for 15, 20 years, at some point you're going to want to just stop the dating. No?
And that's a good question, because sometimes they don't. That's a very good question. Some people are professional daters. I just talked about this with you off air. I prefer somebody do that instead of committing. And I mean, how many times are you going to say vows? I mean, how is it genuine? So, what is your take on that, Dr. Aisha?
Well, I always ask clients, the women I work with, what do you want your life to look like? I think the struggle that many women have is that they feel like marriage is the only end game. And other, you know, singles out there too who are listening, that, you know, that it has to be, if I'm dating, it is for marriage. And so I give my clients space and permission to explore that, especially when I see a pattern of them running away from men who want to marry them, or like they were in a great relationship and they messed it up. And it, on one hand, they're saying, oh, no, I do want marriage. But then on the other hand, there's all this other stuff going on. And so I'll ask them directly, do you really want it? And don't be afraid of me judging you if you say, no, I actually don't.
Right. Absolutely.
So one client finally came to an aha moment, like Oprah have, you know, like, she was like, you know what? I want to be in a committed relationship, but I don't want him living with me. I don't know if you all heard Shonda Rhimes say that. She was like, I don't want no man in my house.
I did.
Enjoy being in relationships, but
That's
I don't
good.
Want no man here.
That's good. I'm old-fashioned, so, Dr. Asia. I'm very old-fashioned.
Yeah, but I don't want to impose, you know, my views on the women.
And it's not for everybody.
Said, I would love to be in, I'd love to be in a committed relationship. I just don't want them living here. Other people want a settlement. You know, Oprah got settlement. And so they just want a settlement. I'm here to create the strategy for what you desire, and that you be in integrity about it, that you stop hurting other people.
Absolutely.
And you get honest about what you want.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Stop hurting other people. Wow. That's a lot of baggage that you bring into that relationship. You're incredible, and you know this, right? You really do create the most conducive atmosphere for people to be themselves in, and for that I say thank you. But doctor, who's making sure that you're good? I mean, you're giving so much. When do you say, you know what, I got to step back and say I got to rest, I got to do something for me? Is that something that you practice for yourself to make certain that you're always, as my children would say, at your
Dr. Asia, do you take your own advice? That's the question. See, Dr. Tanji's so perfect. I'm trying to be like Dr. Tanji. Look, but do you take your own advice?
God, I love this lady.
How's your beautiful family?
That's so funny. I hire coaches. I have other coaches. I have a therapist. I've said to, you know, I remember being at a place of like exhaustion and just really giving and serving.
Absolutely.
And I was like, I need a me.
Right.
You know, like, I need somebody
to come alongside
me and support me and point out my patterns and tell me, you know, how to take care of me. And so I did that work. You know, I'll hire them. I go to a therapist. And so I think it's important, you know, a heart surgeon can't do surgery on him or herself.
No, absolutely
even not. Even though they are skilled at it.
Right.
And so I take that same, you know, perspective, like, okay, I know how to support other people, but I can't see my own blind spots.
Right.
And I need somebody to do that for me.
Wow. I'm glad. And that is so honest. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I really do mean that. Thank you for always showing up. Because people do come to you, and they do expect you to be open, honest, and sincere with them, and to, you know, have them in that place of love and non-judgment.
Right.
You know, so thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
How did you get here?
That was a great question.
Thank you, ma'am. How did you get here? Why love? And you know, you could do your resume reads like a who's who, you know, in America. why does fascinating thing called love?
Well, you know, everybody wants to know about love and how to make it work, right? And how to have it. I started out as a college professor teaching English, teaching writing classes. What I didn't know is that I had a gift for being able to mentor people and to hear what they're not saying.
Absolutely.
Right. And so my students would come in my office and office hours and talk to me about their love lives.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I thought we were coming here to talk about your paper. Why are we talking about this? Uh-huh. And, you know, I would give them encouragement and, you know, really boost their self-esteem and their self-worth. When I decided to change careers, I wanted to share my own story about how I met and married my husband and, you know, just being able to overcome choosing the wrong partners and being, you know, and even in verbally abusive relationships.
Right.
So it started out with me just telling my story, and women responded. And then they started asking me, can you help me find somebody?
Oh, wow.
And so I knew that I needed to, you know, increase my education in the area. So I did certifications, you know, all these types of things.
Yeah.
And I take my work seriously because I do understand that so many people are losing hope when it comes to love.
Yes, they are.
You know, they're hearing headlines about why there's a man shortage and why there's something wrong with them. And I realize that if people could have skill sets, if they could have the right emotions, that they would feel more in control of their destiny.
Right.
Like none of us can define or predict if we're going to have the love we desire, but we sure can take control over that area of our life and have fulfillment.
Absolutely.
So I'm really driven by that. Like, I don't want women to stay in a place of hopelessness. Right. I want them to have the life that they've been dreaming of.
Wow. Was there ever a time, and I'm just going to kind of peel back, you know, the curtains just a little bit, and if I'm being too invasive, say, you know what? Next question, please. Was there ever a time, Dr. Asia, where you said, you know what, man, this love stuff, I don't know about this. Were you ever at that point where what you believe was tested?
You mean inside of my work, inside of my life?
Relationship.
inside
of my relationship.
Yeah.
I think if people are being honest, that's always going to be tested.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like, where there will be a time where you'd be like, you know what? I could really be doing something else, right? Like, this isn't the life that I imagined.
Right.
Or this isn't what I thought marriage was going to feel like. I think that's what Aisha Curry was expressing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, wait. You all promised me that if I get the husband and I get the success and I get the kids, that it was going to be golden. And now I got anxiety and insecurity, you know, and I don't feel desirable.
Yeah.
Like, I think if we're all honest, we have those moments.
Yes,
and so if I told you that I was a champion for love and I never felt that way, I'd be lying.
Thank you.
And if, you know, if you ask my husband, he would say the same, right?
Yeah.
So that's what makes commitment so powerful, is that it's a choice that you have to make over and over and over again.
Mm.
And it's not just about the feeling.
Absolutely.
And then I'm glad you brought that up, because see, that to me is a critical hot button in relationships, because you can have all of these things you guys are talking about, these perfect checks and balances, and okay, well, this checks off, but you know, at some point, when you are discussing commitment, where do we go from here? Dr. Asia, what do you suggest women do to when they're inquiring about when you're disclosing, not so much what you want, but what you don't want, and getting to that point to be clear of what you, that desire point you want to get to, whether it's marriage, whether it's we're going to do this for X amount of time and then a decision has been made. Is there a journal, or what is the process of helping them to understand that point? Because those are the turning points in relationships. I mean, you can say we're going to get married. People talk about that all the time. And it mean well, and we'll be headed in the right direction. But then something will flip off. So, I mean, do you have is it certain points? I mean, but you don't want to say, okay, well, if I'm not this by 6 months, a year. So what do you suggest to people when it comes down to time, which is so valuable these days, and we don't know how much time we have?
Right.
Yeah, that's a great question, because a lot of women are, you know, when they come to me, they're like, I don't have time to waste. You know, there's a lot of pressure that they put on themselves because of that. You know, they didn't, some of them freeze their eggs, some of them don't, you know.
I was just thinking about those eggs. Yes. Yeah, freeze those eggs. Don't let them fry on you. Yes. Yes.
Okay. But you know what? I saw an article that men need to be concerned about that too, that they don't have eternal
Thanks,
fertility.
Doc.
So they
yeah.
Get phone,
preach.
So.
Y'all want, y'all little love handles. We want pecs too. You know, we want abs too.
Right. So
I'm sorry.
What I really teach is that there are seven stages to dating.
Okay.
And at any point of these stages, your relationship might experience a breakdown.
Mm.
And at that point, you need to ask yourself some important questions. Like, is this breaking down because you know, we don't have the emotional maturity to move through this. Are we breaking? That's is he breaking out because he's not the right partner for me? Because we don't want the same things. Like, right. And so, for example, one of the stages, the early stages are chemistry and romance. You know, it's the, oh my gosh, he takes my breath away. But then there comes the stage of disappointment. Uh-huh. It is inevitable.
Oh, can you say that again?
Disappointed.
Dr. Aisha, can you, hold on, say that word again.
Oh, no, but disappointment.
Poof.
Yeah.
It is inevitable and it's normal. Because, you know, when you're falling in love, you have this image of who the person is and how they make you feel. And then the real them shows up and you're like, where did you put, you know, that amazing person?
Oh, my God.
So a lot of my clients will be like, well, Dr. Aisha, I can't believe this. And I'm so disappointed. And I'm like, remember, I told you that's part of it. Mm-hmm. What we have to now see is the connection was ruptured. Can he repair it? Can you do the work to say, you know what, that really hurt me.
Right.
And he can hear that and say, okay, how do I fix that? Wow. If you can't get past that stage, then we need to say goodbye.
Right.
And so there are, you know, stages beyond that where there's pre-commitment, where it's not even a true commitment just because we're a couple, because we aren't committed necessarily to a future. We're just committed to only dating each other.
Right.
And so when people get clear, my clients have like clarity around what actually is happening. It's not just I feel good about him and we're together and we're going to stay together forever, but that we are on a journey. And sometimes we got to part ways, right? We can't go the same direction, and it's okay because I was a better person for loving you.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
When people can come to that, I think they can end relationships better. They can start over, you know, from a place of hope. And I think it really will uplift our community.
Absolutely.
You know, so we won't have so much baggage that we're carrying around.
Right.
Yep. Those are such key points,
absolutely.
Dr. Aisha. Yep, absolutely. And I thought, too, it was very poignant what the late, great Nipsey Hussle said in, you know, in his relationship with actress Lauren London. You know, we naturally, whether you're in a relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, wherever you label it, husband, wife, we will clearly say, my man, my girl, we have these labels, this possession thing. And I thought it was so incredible that he told her things. She said, you know, well, what am I? You'll see this in clips on social media. She was very clear, realizing his star was like super rising. He's such an incredible force. And, you know, sometimes when they were out, he may say, this is a phenomenal, you know, woman right here. And she's like, and I'm your what? You know, just making it clear to all these people that Aisha Curry's talking about.
Oh,
you know,
God.
He said, my wife, my girl, my lady. But what he told her was that to understand that we can't ever possess anyone that we're really experiencing them. And I thought that was so amazing.
Nice.
But with all the feelings you just described, Dr. Aisha, it becomes more clear with the seven stages you're talking about in dating. It gets even more crystal clear with confidence and understanding and knowing that you're okay before you can even step into the space that you're, you know, telling people to be prepared for their desires. So
Absolutely.
Yes. I love that. And I think a lot of the, you know, conflicts over the labels, well, what are we, you know, what am I to you?
But I ain't mad at Lauren London for that. Because Nipsey was hot. No, Lauren, I'm not mad at you. Book. Yes, she needed to say that.
What really needs to have, yes, she did need it to know. And she needed him to let the world know, you know.
Absolutely.
And all the other ones know. But that really is about the relationship agreement.
Okay.
What I find is most people don't set agreements with each other, and they're just assumptions.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Ooh,
and so,
now you see you talk. Oh, you talking real now.
Yeah.
See, Dr. Aisha. Oh, you gonna wait to the end of the show. This has to be part two. No, Dr. Aisha, she's bringing the realness now. She's bringing the realness. Go ahead, keep going. Yeah, now.
So we make so many assumptions, right, about how it should be and what, you know, he should do and how she should respond.
Right.
That we could clear up a lot of that if we make agreement. And we make the agreement beforehand. So, like, this is how we're going to handle conflict.
Right.
This is how we're going to handle, you know, finances. This is what we're going to do in the bedroom, you know, like
Right.
The agreement put both people in a place of power so that it's not that one person has power over the other or we're fighting for it, but that we can go back to the agreement and say, remember, baby, you said that you weren't going to criticize me when you were upset, that we were going to take a moment, take a break, and then come and talk about it. And so, you know, trade out those assumptions and make some explicit agreement for your relationship.
Absolutely. And this is my last question. I know Jeannie's kind of bursting over there. How do you, in your expert opinion, do you believe that traditional conversations about sex, celibacy, fornication, are these ruining the dating scene and just kind of Xing out a woman's chance of having the love that she knows she deserves because of her, you know, kind of beliefs that I don't want to go into this relationship doing this. This is who I am. These are my beliefs. And, you know, this is what it is. Do you, in your opinion, your professional opinion, is that a deal breaker in a relationship?
That's a huge question at the end of the show.
I know. I'm so sorry. I am. She said part two. You heard her, right?
I did. I called it.
So I'm going to have to, I'm going to have to drop the bomb. I wanted to prep people because I don't know if they can handle it, because what I'm going to say is going to step on some toes.
I'm listening.
It's going to step on Big Mama's toes. Hmm. It's going to
step on the corn bunions. Go ahead, step on
Bishop's toes, right? Because it's the legacy of belief that we've been handed that says, you know, you can't be a hoe and a housewife, right? So like, you can't be, you know, sexually liberated, but also want to be someone's wife at the same time. And so what that belief has created is a sense of shame attached to desire.
Oh, yeah, that's loaded.
So that's why everybody was mad at Aisha, because she's talking about desirability. Like, I wish, you know, I get some attention because that attention validates that I'm a desirable woman. Everybody's like, you shouldn't want that because you're a wife. But that doesn't X out our desires for to be desired.
Gotcha.
So I don't necessarily say that if you're celibate, you're not going to meet the one, because I've helped celibate clients do that. Mm-hmm. But what I do say is you've got to give yourself permission to put pleasure, your pleasure, at the forefront of your choices.
Yes, Dr. Aisha. So that's how you wrap the show.
I want women to make empowered choices around sex and sexuality. So if you're celibate, it's not like, oh my God, get away from me, I'm celibate.
Right.
The conversation is, you know, the man who's going to enjoy all of this right here is the man who gives me his last name. And I don't know who that's going to be yet.
See how you've worked that, ladies? That's right. That's right. So you got to earn this. You know, you going to rupture this. You going to repair this. No, I got it.
To all of the families that have small children out of school.
Disclaimer. Okay. But I really, really get that. So, Dr. Aisha, if anybody wants to interact, communicate with you, consult, how can they reach you?
The best way is to go to fixmylovelifenow.com and you can request a complimentary consultation with me. Where, you know, I'm going to listen to your challenges. I'm going to point out some of the things that are subconscious that are keeping you from the love that you want, and then talk to you about how my solutions are going to bridge that gap for you. But only go there if you're ready to commit your time, you know, your resources to this, because that's what it takes to create the love you want.
Absolutely.
Okay, so if you're ready to commit to yourself, then go to fixmylovelifenow.com.
Wow.
Dr. Aisha, incredible. Good stuff. And let's just toast to love. And then don't forget, man, you know, and then you call me if you need the body check and the higher frequency like app to call in. And then Dr. Aisha is going, we going to get you to that king and that queen. See, we got the whole formula down, but absolutely incredible. And that is why she is the bomb.com and what she does.
Absolutely.
So Dr. Aisha, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for
joining us. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. You're a breath of fresh air and we love you dearly. Thank you. Thank you. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow.
Look, I'm loaded. Let me loose. Let me out of here.
I know, right?
Because I know what to say to him, how to say it.
Yep. Thank you for joining us again for another power-packed show.
Oh, this was good. This is like slash comedy hour. Yeah. You know, your kingdom principles inspire. But we just want to have healthier relationships. Absolutely. And all that you bring to Talk to Tanji on Monday.
Yeah,
on Monday, you rock it. Make sure you tune in. Talk to Tanji Facebook Live every Monday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
How about that?
Oh, no, you are rocking. You're rocking. Oh, Sandra, how could I? Because St. Louis, Mississippi.
I mean, no.
Look, they know they be shouting out on your timeline. Like, what's up with the entire world?
Absolutely. Thank you guys for joining. We love you, love you, love you. We cannot do this show without you. And you do matter. Again, love yourself. You are complete. And you're we all are a work in progress. Until next time. See you soon.
We're doing this together.
Yeah, doing this together.
Yeah,
I like that. All right.
You're listening to the Dr. Tunji Show with Dr. Tunji Scott.